I really just, the Lord gave me this thought not too long ago, and I just wrote it down on a piece of paper. We'll see how it goes. If the Lord gets in it, it'll go good. Maybe I need it. Maybe I tighten things up a little too much. Maybe I need to tell a joke real quick. Either though, my jokes are pretty terrible. Now, usually when I come up north, I pick on Yankees. I tell Yankee jokes. But I like y'all. Y'all are all right for a bunch of Yankees, you know. So I'll tell a redneck joke. Bubba lives across town from me, and his wife fainted one day, and she had a seizure or something. He didn't know what to do, so he called 911, and the 911 dispatcher said, "Okay, sir, just calm down and tell me where you live. Give me your address so I can send an ambulance down there." Have you heard this? You heard about old Bubba? He said, "All right, we live at 1321 Eucalyptus Drive." The dispatcher said, "Can you please spell eucalyptus for me?" He got quiet for a second. He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll drag her down to Oak Street and you can meet me there." So I can relate to that. That's my crowd right there. Mark chapter number 5. Look in verse number 21. "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Now, I don't know about you, if that would have been one of my disciples, not that I have any, but if I did, I smacked him in the face right there. I mean, you know, Lord, thou seest the throng, and you're going to ask, Who touched me? Talk about cocky. That ought to give hope to some of us, because he knew how ignorant his disciples were going to be at times, and he picked them anyway. He knew Peter was going to be a loudmouth, just blurt everything out. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew all their faults, and he still said, I want you to be my disciples. That ought to make us, amen, rejoice in the Lord right there. There's hope. Amen, Christian, there's hope for us. Praise God. I'm glad there is. Where was I? Oh, yeah, the multitude that was being rude. Verse 32, "And he looked around about to see her and see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, Lord, I pray you'll bless the reading of your word. And Lord, for the world, this is a big, important night. And Lord, for even a lot of Christians, our saved people, it's a big, important night, but they're not spending it where they need to be. I thank you that these folks have come out. They could be at home. They could have made excuses, and they're here, and they've been faithful, and I pray that you'd bless them for it. I think you already have blessed us, Lord. It's sure been a sweet spirit once again here tonight. Thank you for the two that was saved this morning. We sure want to give you praise for that. Help us now as we try to preach, Lord. Give us the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like probably everybody here tonight would agree with me that this woman was pretty serious about getting to Jesus. I don't think she was just, well, you know, if I happen to get close to him, then I may try to get him to heal me. Or, you know, if it just happens to work out, then I'll do it. No, I think she was serious about getting to Jesus and touching him. Because she had done tried all these other things, and they had failed her, but she knew once again, just like Zacchaeus was this morning, she knew that the answer to her problem was coming by. She said, if I could just touch him, He ain't got to breathe on me. He ain't even got to place his hands on me. If I could just touch him, he'll take care of my problem. I don't really have an official title for this, but I guess if I was going to call it anything, it'd be a question. How bad do you really want a touch from Jesus? How bad do you want a touch from Jesus? Obviously, you want it bad enough that you were faithful enough to go against the world system tonight, which is to stay home and watch a football game. Maybe you wouldn't drink liquor, but drink soda and you know, eat all the junk food. That's what the world says the normal people are doing tonight. But here we are, the peculiar people. We're in church. And it's the right place to be. So I assume you want something. There's something you're desiring here tonight, but how bad do you want it? How bad do you want a touch from Jesus? See, she went up and she touched him. But you better know too, he touched her. The Bible said that he felt virtue go out of him. When she touched him, he touched her back. Maybe not with his finger, but in just a way that only Jesus can, he touched her. I don't know about you tonight, but I need a fresh touch. I need a little bit more than I had yesterday or last week. Our churches are drying up. I could take you to churches. Everybody talks about the South and the Bible Belt and all the great meetings. And you know, there, man, I've got a great home church back home. I love it. And I could take you to some other churches around where I live, but I could show you some dead ones too. But I know y'all got a bunch more up in these parts of the country. Churches are drying up and dying. People ain't getting saved. And if we're going to keep seeing people getting saved like we saw here this morning, we're going to have a touch. You say, oh, that touch, that getting a touch of God on your life, that's just for preachers. No, it's for every Christian. It's for every one of us sitting here tonight, whether you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, young, old, everything in between. We need a touch from God. If we're going to have revival this week, we're going to need a touch from Him. And the preacher's right. It's not about me being here. It ain't about whether Brother Tony Hudson comes and preaches or not. It's about whether the Holy Ghost shows up, amen, and does what He wants done. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful, Brother Gary, that he would use me as a vessel. And I was serious when I said, personally, I'd rather hear Tony Hudson preach because I have to hear me preach all the time. But if that's what the Lord wants, we'll preach and rejoice in it. Amen. We'll do what He wants. But that's what matters is what He wants done. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if the other preacher didn't show up and Brother Gary said, I feel like I need to preach tonight. You know what I'd do? I'd get my pen and paper out and take notes and get what I could from it. Might not be much, but I'd get what I could. Hey, you do understand that this thing is bigger than a flyer. It's bigger than a program. It's bigger, amen, than just saying we're going to have a meeting. I don't know about you. I want to see more than just a meeting here this week. And I mean, this is your church. I hope you would say the same. We need more than just another meeting. Yes, meetings come and go. What about revival? That's what we stand in need of. We call it revival meeting. It is a meeting. But if we go all through Wednesday night and come down Wednesday night and it's over, and you come back into church Sunday and things are just ho-hum, back to normal. What good did it do? We had some people saved. And that's wonderful. But I'm talking about the church as a whole. How about it? Don't you want to see revival? How bad? How bad do you want to see it? You know, Brother Steve, we go in meetings almost every week. As evangelists, we're somewhere almost every week. Preaching, whether it's a revival or a camp meeting or a Bible conference, we're somewhere singing and preaching. But very, very little do I see real revival come to a church. And probably almost every evangelist, Brother Gary, that comes through here would tell you the same thing. You could even have a good meeting and still not have revival. I want a little bit more than that, Brother Gary. Brother Eric, I want a little bit more than that. But it don't come cheap. Real Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival. You say, you're charismatic. I ain't charismatic. That's Bible. Real Holy Ghost. Ain't nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost. He's the best friend I've got. Amen. Real Holy Ghost revival doesn't come cheap. And that's why you see very little of it. Because nobody wants to pay the price. How bad you want it tonight, church? Are you willing to put aside your plans that you've already got laid out for this week? Hey, are you willing to lay your stinking sin aside long enough to let God speak to your heart? Are you willing to just lay it all aside and say, God, I'm going to be here and get what you've got for me? How bad do you want it? We think we can just have a little box that's like a Christmas present. You open up and boom, there's a revival. Saw one evangelist's website, kind of kooky, but he had one saying on there that made sense. Why have firecracker revivals when you can have dynamite revivals? Now he's right. Why have a little firecracker? Now his whole point was, if you'll have me, we'll have dynamite. Now I just explained, I mean, if it's up to me, we'll be lucky if it's one of them little snap and pop. But why have a little firecracker revival when you can't have a dynamite revival? But it's, once again, it's not who you have preaching or who you have singing. It ain't about any of that. It's about getting a hold of God, getting serious with a holy God and saying, I need something in my life. We need something in our church. Something fresh. How bad do you want it? Let's look at some things about this woman. She wanted a touch pretty bad. Look at verse number 26. It said, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. The phrase there said she had suffered and spent. She had tried what the world had to offer for her problem and saw no results. Got no help from what the world had tried to offer. She had spent every little bit of money she had. And she was suffering. We said, number one, we see her desperation. She got desperate for a touch. How desperate are we tonight? You know when we're going to see real revival? You know when this church, Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church, you know when it'll see real revival? When you get desperate. And you really want it. See, we're not desperate. We come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we think we're doing okay. We come to church just enough to ease our conscience so we can make it through another week without feeling bad about the things we do. We're not desperate for revival, but we'll not have it till we get desperate. And let me say this, a lot of times it seems like it's when something bad happens that all of a sudden we get desperate for Jesus. Why don't we just get desperate and then maybe He won't have to send tragedy our way. Maybe He won't have to send problems our way. Now I guarantee you, if the world keeps getting worse and worse and it is going that way with the economy and everything going on, we got government officials, they don't have the answer. If it goes the way it goes, people are going to get real desperate. And then we may see revival. But why can't at least y'all as a church get good and desperate before it gets real bad? And just maybe the Lord will just keep you from some of that. Because He says, man, they're serious. I didn't even have to take their home. I didn't have to take their job. I didn't have to, and they just want to meet with me. I think I'll just keep on helping them while everybody else around them suffering. Her desperation. You know what? I bet when she got desperate, when we get desperate, you know what we'll do? We'll sincerely pray. Not a little flippant walking through the door. Oh, we better get in the church. They're fixing to start. Oh, and Lord, we sure need you tonight. God, please meet with us. Amen. When we get desperate, you know what we'll do? Every chance we get tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and from there on out, we'll get alone by ourselves and say, God, we sure need you. Amen. God, we need you in our revival this week. God, we need you to help our preachers that are preaching. God, we need you to help our pastor and just give him wisdom and direction. When we get desperate, we'll seriously pray. And I'm not talking about a little fabricated canned prayer. There's plenty of that going on. And can I just be honest with you? It probably makes God sick at his stomach. When we pray just to ease our conscience. Well, Lord, I guess I ought to thank you for what you did. Or, Lord, I'm going to sleep. Pray that you'll... Lord, bless the food. We love you. All these little simple prayers that aren't even from the heart. And then we think we're going to see revival. It's going to take more than that, church. I wish I had some dynamic message for you tonight, but this ain't going to be dynamic. I'll tell you that right now. Who's going to be the one that'll take some time to pray? Who's going to be the teenage boy or the teenage girl that'll take time to pray? That'll tell their friends, not this afternoon, not today after school, I need to go home. I got something I need to do. Who'll be that one? To sacrifice your pleasures and what you really like to do. Who'll be the adult that instead of taking your lunch hour and shooting the bull with the guys or the other ladies, you'll say, I need to slip out to my car or off to my office. I've got something I need to do. Oh, but that's my time. That's your problem. It's all about you. It's all about me, 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 what I want to do, my plans, my desires, what I want to do. Well, you just go ahead and have that attitude. But don't count on getting much of a touch from Jesus this week. Our desperation. When we get desperate, we'll see it. When we get desperate, we'll seek His presence. Amen. I'm tired, and I'll be honest with you. Me and the preacher talked about this last night too. I'm tired of celebrity meetings. Y'all are probably blessed because when I say that, they probably don't even know what I'm talking about. And you know what? You're blessed. A few of you, I know you've been around them a little bit maybe. You got to get the biggest name preacher to come in to try to impress us with a fancy message. Just work up a big emotional stir. But they come in, they leave, and nothing's changed. I done said it several times tonight. I'll say it again. This thing ain't about me. I'm like the little boy that is helping his daddy in the shop. And everything he's doing is just, he's making a mess of it. Everything he does, he's really just slowing his daddy down. But he says, Daddy, am I doing okay or you need me to leave? And his daddy pats him on the head and says, you're doing just fine. I appreciate you helping me. You're doing a good job. That's me and God right there. I'm just the little boy that gets in the way. And he just says, you're doing all right. We need to be seeking His presence. I wonder who's going to come. I wonder if other preachers from the area are going to come. Who cares? I hope they come and get in on what God's doing. But whether they do or not, you get in on it. This is your church. Don't worry about whether the churches in the other areas are going to come to your meeting. You just come and be faithful. Like the preacher said, we need all the preaching we can get. You ought to go support their meetings, but ultimately, it's up to their church whether they want revival or not. Same thing here. It's up to your church. It's up to this congregation whether you want it or not. Seek His presence. That's what makes the difference. His presence makes, His presence is what made the difference this morning. His presence, Brother Eric, is what made the difference a while ago that took a good song like What a Day That Will Be and made it a great time of worship singing that song. His presence. Because without it, it's just, what a day that will be. But when He shows up, it's, woohoo! When my Jesus, I shall see. That's what we need this week. We need Him. Quit worrying about whether so-and-so's coming or where so-and-so at. How come they didn't come tonight? Don't worry about why they're not here. You be here. You be where you know you're supposed to be. You be in your place. Let's just worry about getting ourselves here and seeking after what God wants in our life. Seek His presence. We need to get good and desperate. But we're not desperate because we're so spoiled. We got kids 7, 8, 9 years old got cell phones now. We ain't desperate. We don't need a touch from Jesus. We got cell phones. We've got MySpace and Facebook. We don't need Jesus. We've got a 1,000 channels on the TV. What do we need a touch from Jesus for? We've got Xbox 360 and Wii and PlayStation and all that. We don't need Jesus. You know I'm being sarcastic right there, right? Because of all the junk we have, we need Him even more. Kids walking around with a cell phone, with the push of a button, they can have access to pornography on their cell phone. Adults too. Amen. Adults too, but I'm just saying, you are off your rocker if you'll put something like that in the hand of a child, in the hand of a kid. I don't know, maybe you know more about these than I do. The new Game Boy, whatever they are, the DS, I think they call them. All the kids got them down where we live. Game Boy DS and the PlayStation handhelds, they have internet access now. And at the push of a button, mom and dad thinks they're playing games and they're seeing things that's going to mess their mind up. I'm telling you, we need Jesus more than we ever have. I don't like that kind of preaching because I like watching TV. I like playing a video game every now and then. So I hate preaching this kind of stuff. But when preachers get up and preach it, it helps me. I may not go home and get rid of it, and maybe I should, but it helps me to remind me, boy, I stand in need of Jesus in my life and just having His touch and His hand upon my life and on our family and upon your church. Her desperation. When are we going to get desperate? What's God going to have to do to us to make us really want revival? You remember September 11th? Of course you do. You remember for a week or even probably up to a month, churches were packed, Brother Gary. They were packed. But a month later, you couldn't find those people nowhere. It's scary to think what's God really going to have to do to see revival. Look at verse number 27. It said, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment, for she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. We see the woman's determination. She got desperate. She had already tried all this stuff. She had already tried all the doctors, things that she thought money could buy her healing, and it didn't work. She got desperate. But then she was determined to get to Him. Are you determined to get a touch from Jesus this week? I mean, you may say, well, yeah, I want it. Yeah, I want revival this week, but I'm not determined to get it. This lady was determined to get to Jesus. In spite of the crowd, she said, I'm getting to Jesus. One of the other gospel gives the account of the story, and it says that she reached out and touched the hem of His garment. The hem is that right there. The very bottom of the garment. You know what that tells me? You know what that tells me, Brother Louie? It tells me that she had to have been on the ground trying to get just a touch. Because, boy, the crowd was all around her. You know what the average person would have said? Ah, just let him go on by. I'm not gonna get on the ground and crawl. I'm not gonna embarrass myself like that. That's what the average Christian would have said. I don't need it that bad. And you know what happens? Christians just miss out. Because they ain't determined like this lady was. I could see this lady crawling on a dirty, filthy ground, getting her garments all dirty, just to reach out and just a little touch. Just a little touch. I remember one year, Brother Alan Ryman's August meeting, I remember somebody was singing that song, "Lord, give me a drink of that water." And while they were singing, another preacher got out of his seat, probably about as far back as you are, Brother Steve, and he crawled on his hands and legs down to the altar and got up under the communion table and stayed there for about an hour praying. So, oh, he's putting on a show. No, I don't think he's putting on a show. Now, I'm not saying you got to get on your hands and knees to get to Jesus. You know what he was doing? He was just putting his flesh down, humbling himself, saying, "I need a drink. I need to get something. I need something from Jesus, and I want it bad enough. Maybe if he'll just see my humble state, maybe he'll bless me." How about you this week? Are you just going to let the crowd keep you from getting a touch? Well, I'm worried about what so-and-so thinks. I'm worried about what the other teenagers may think. I'm worried about what the brethren are going to think if I go down to the altar. The preacher said it this morning, said the altars are open all the time. But the invitation time is the only time that fits in your little box. See, some of you, you know right now, the Lord's already dealt with you about something. You already know you need to be on the altar, but you're going to wait till the invitation. I may not give one just for that. Then you'll go, man. Some of you know you need to be down here right now. Some of you got so much sin and junk in your life, and you know it. Your life has been nothing but problems, and you know the answer to the problem. You know it. But you're just going to keep on making a mess. You know why? Because you're worried about the crowd. You'd rather please the crowd than God. You'd rather just keep wrecking your life and going in and out of jail. You'd rather do that than actually humble yourself and get a hold of God. I'm telling you, man, God's got something way better for you. You're worried about drugs and alcohol and putting all this stuff in your body to get you a little buzz or a little high every now and then. I'm telling you, God has something so much bigger, so much better. Amen. I'm talking about a high, amen, that you cannot get out here in the world, amen, from drugs or alcohol. Amen. I'm talking about something that only the Holy Ghost can give. And it's so much better than what the world has to offer, but you're just going to let the crowd hold you back. You know why? You ain't determined. She got determined, Brother Eric. She said, "I want to get to him." She said, "I ain't worried about the crowd." You think maybe some people might have even said, look at this lady. Look at what she's doing. Look at this filthy lady crawling on the ground. Ew. What is she? She's crazy. She's out of her mind. Somebody call the loony bin. What is she doing? Get away. Don't touch me, lady. Don't mess my shoes up. She didn't let it stop her. She said, "I got to get to him. If I could just get a little touch of his garment, I'll be okay." Some of you tonight, if you just get a little touch, it's better than your ways. You've tried your ways and you just keep failing. You just keep ending up a mess. Why don't you try God's way? You've tried the world's way. Why don't you try to live for God and serve Him? Just throw it all in and say, Lord, I surrender all. Here it is. You'd be a whole lot happier. said, I'm not going to let the crowd keep me from getting to him. She said, I'm not going to let the circumstances keep me from getting to him. I was on my way to Charlotte Saturday morning to get on the airplane. And I was driving down the interstate. It was about 8:45 in the morning. I noticed off to my right a golf course. There was a bunch of old men out there getting ready to tee off. I looked at my little temperature gauge in my car. It said 35 degrees. Now, I know y'all are thinking, hey, 35, let's put on our shorts and T-shirts and go to the beach. In North Carolina, that's cold. But I watched them men out there as they were getting ready to tee off, and I thought, they're determined to do what they want to do. As cold as it was, they said, we're going golfing because we want to golf today. They were determined to play golf. I wonder how many of those, that same bunch that was getting ready to play golf there, I wonder how many of them this morning told their wife, nah, you going to church, it's just too cold, I'm not going. You going without me, it's just the weather ain't right, or I just don't, you know, I don't feel good today. But I can get out on the golf course. 8:30 in the morning, 35 degrees. They were determined to do what they want. You know what? You're determined to do what you want to do. Some of you are determined that you're going to sit in your seat tonight and not let the Holy Ghost speak to your heart. Some of you have come in here determined like that. I feel sorry for you. Because you're miserable. And you know it. And you know what you need. You just got too much pride to come get it. I mean, it's available. You just got too much pride to come get it. Now look, some of you got, your problems are so steep and so bad, one little trip to the altar ain't going to fix it, but it's a good place to start. Some of you got some problems. It's going to take a lot of time of going home and getting by yourself and just getting a hold of God. But it's a good place to start right down here. Because it's a humbling place to start. It's acknowledging to your brothers and sisters in Christ, I stand in need of some help. And you know what? Some of us, we may not have problems like we would consider great sin, but we all stand in need of some help. And when you acknowledge that to those around you, they can pray for you. They can help you. And that's more people that you've got on your side. You do realize that this crowd is the crowd that's on your side, right? Not the crowd down there peddling you your drugs. That ain't the crowd that's on your side. They're using you. They're making a mock of you. When you leave, they laugh at you and how they suckered you out of all that money. The liquor store laughs, you know, man, look at that idiot. He's going to be sick tomorrow and we just made a fortune off him buying his booze. These are the people that care. Her determination. But then I want you to look over at Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. Well, you know, Brother Daniel, I got this going on this week, and we got this school meeting going on, or they got this game going on, or my favorite show's going on, and we got all this stuff. You just ain't determined. See, I believe this with all my heart. I believe if you really want to be faithful, God will make a way for you to be here. If you want it bad enough, you could be here every night. I believe that. Luke chapter number 8, look at verse number 47. It says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. The Bible said there that she declared unto him before all the people what he had done. We see her declaration. Let me say, she was unashamed of what had just happened in her life, in her body. She was not afraid to tell everybody, hey, let me tell you what Jesus just did for me. Let me tell you what he did for the miracle he worked in my life. I want to tell everybody, I got something I need to say. She declared to everybody. You know, I always heard that. It's probably not a big saying up here, but down south, it would say, people say, you'll tell them something. Well, I declare. I declare. Any of y'all ever heard that? I declare. I want to declare some things about Jesus tonight. He's good. He's the best friend I've ever had. Amen. But if you only declare those things in the church, in these walls like we mentioned this morning, there's a lost world out here that's going to die and go to hell. They're the ones that need to hear you declaring what God's done for you. They're the ones that need to hear you talk about how good God's been, of the miracles He's done in your family and in your home. They're the ones that need to hear you declare how good He's been in church this week and what great things He's done. They're the ones that need to hear it. We like to hear it in here. We like to hear a good stirring testimony, but they're the ones that really need to hear it. Her declaration, she was unashamed. She was unapologetic about it. She wasn't about to apologize for this miracle God had just done in her. You know what I see so many times, especially, listen up here, teenagers. You know what I see so many times? We go to youth camp and see young people get on fire for God. We'll see young men surrender to preach, young ladies surrender that they're going to go to the mission field or marry a preacher boy or something like that. And 3 months later, you find them and they ain't serving God. They ain't hardly coming to church. And you say, what happened? They say, well, I don't know what I was thinking. I was just confused. It's like they're apologizing for this great work that Jesus has done for them. I don't want to be like that. Well, I'm unapologetic for what He's done for me. I may do something stupid sometimes, even as a preacher. I'm liable to say or do something retarded, and I may have to apologize, but I'll never apologize for just being what I am for God. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy, amen, sometimes of just making a fool of ourselves for Him. Unapologetic. Tony Hudson said he went off to Bible college. And he called up his daddy. He said, Daddy, I'm coming home. His dad said, well, what's the problem, Tony? He said, they got this class. I ain't taking this class. His dad said, what's the name of the class? He said, it's called apologetics. He said, Daddy, I ain't apologizing for nothing. Unapologetic, her declaration. She wasn't ashamed. She wasn't sorry just to stand and say, could I tell you what Jesus just did for me? Some of you this week, God does something for you. It would be good for you to just put your flesh down and maybe stand up and say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. But then take it out there. Take it to work with you. Take it to school with you. And declare unto those around you how great things He's done for you and just how great He is. Because He is great. Great, awesome, wonderful, phenomenal, spectacular. You put whatever name you want in front of the name of Jesus Christ and it still don't measure up to just how good He is. How bad do you want it tonight? Or do you just want this to be another week? Another revival meeting. Well, we got that revival out of the way. Now we got the next one coming up. Why don't you just get in a state of revival that carries on to the next meeting? You'll already be revived. You say, is that possible? It's still possible. And that's what we stand in need of. Getting a touch. Getting a touch. Getting past and preachers and names and who's coming and what's going to take place and hope some big stir come through. And I'm for all getting stirred up, but how about we let the Lord change us and touch us?
That's good.
Amen. That's what'll make the difference. I want you to stand up. I'm going to do things a little different tonight. And in a moment, Brother Gary can come and he can do this however he wants to, but without any music tonight, I think we all stand in need of a good touch. You know what I'd like for us to do tonight without any music? I would like for us all to just gather around the altar. All that will. I ain't going to make you. I'm too little to make most of you. Most of these girls on the front row could probably whoop me. I don't know. Just keep in mind, I got a strong wife named Stormy Waters. She'll take care of you. Amen. Let's gather around this altar. Say, God, we need a touch. We need a fresh touch. Let's get a hold of God tonight. Let's ask God that when we come in here tomorrow night that He'll do something great. When we come back Tuesday night, that once again He'll do something great. When we come back Wednesday night, that He'll do something great. But then when we come back Sunday, He'll do something great. And when we come back the Wednesday night after that, He'll do something great. And so on and so on. The revival, He'll give us something that'll just keep on going. Some of you, there's certain things in your life tonight, you know what you stand in need of. Some of you need to get some sin out of your life. Tell God about it. Ask Him to help you with it. Some of you come in here, you've got some problems tonight. You're hurting. You're going through some suffering. Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Don't carry those burdens around all week. Let somebody help you. Let Jesus help you. Get you a touch tonight. Some of you here tonight, you need God to do something great in your family. Let Him do something. Let Him touch your family. He wants to help you. Just take your time. Just talk to God. They were in an upper chamber. They were all with one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and fill us everyone. Yes, this old-time power was given to our fathers who were true. This is promised to believers, and we all may have it too. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and fill us everyone. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and fill us everyone. That ought to be our prayer tonight. Lord, fill us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We got too many churches full of too many Christians that are walking around empty. They're saved, they're going to heaven, but they're empty. Nobody wants, when you're thirsty, nobody wants an empty glass. They want something that's full. And you know what this world needs to see? They need to see some Christians that are full. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and fill us everyone. Sing that little chorus with me. It's real easy. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and fill us, everyone.